Ron Van Dam spends a half an hour every Monday through Friday putting together this show for you. And at his age, that's like 80% of his usable awake time. So please listen carefully. He could doze off at any moment. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Oh my God.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you very much.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Thank you. Welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. Don't argue with me. I'm not in the mood for this. How are you? Good to be with you. Oh, you're looking good today. I have a wonderful show in store for you. The only problem is I haven't done it yet, but I'm going to do it right now. Oh, look at you. Look at you. Yeah, nice. All right, whatever. I'm depressed, not because of that, but because I like to sit outside on a really nice day, you know? There's nothing wrong with that, you know, so sue me. So I like to sit outside, but so do the bugs. Oh my God. Mosquitoes, gnats, those little, they call them no-see-em bugs, but I can see them. Black flies, what is that about? These flies are biting me. These mosquitoes are sucking the living blood out of me. They are giving me blood transfusions. I slapped a mosquito on my arm a couple of days ago, and there was blood there. The mosquito had already sucked some of my blood or was walking around with somebody else's blood and giving me a transfusion. I didn't ask for that. I mean, I don't like things sucking my blood without asking me and filling out all the forms, next of kin, and all that kind of thing. You can't just go sucking blood. That's what I don't like about vampires. Who the hell they think they are, walking around taking people's blood just so they can live? Selfish. So I spent some time this morning on the Google machine trying to figure out how do I stop mosquitoes from sucking the living daylight out of me. And they had a few suggestions. One of them, that which is most interesting to me, was mosquitoes don't like mouthwash. I guess their mouths are too small to enjoy it. I don't know, which means that mosquitoes probably stink. If you ever had a mosquito come up to your face and talk to you, it would probably have some really bad breath because it doesn't like mouthwash. Okay, enough of that. So what I'm going to do later is I'm going to get a spray bottle and I'm going to spray mouthwash around my chair when I sit outside. I'm not going to tell anybody I'm doing that because it sounds stupid. But that's what I'm going to do. Apparently these little bugs, gnats and all those people, they also don't like peppermint. Oh, okay. So how about peppermint mouthwash? Bonus. They also don't like lavender. Now, I don't care for lavender either. And I'm talking about as a color. I'm talking about the scent of lavender. Lavender's fairly expensive, so I'm not going to go spraying lavender all over the place. I don't mind the smell of it, but if I, you know, see somebody in the street, Ron, you smell like lavender. Yeah, it's a long story. It's a long, long story. By the way, if you have any friends or people you know and you're talking to them and you're exchanging little quips and stories, that's called conversation. If they ever say to you, well, Ron, to make a long story short, oh my God, get some pajamas because you're going to be there all night. When they announce ahead of time, I'm going to make a long story short, It's going to be a long story, and it's not going to be short. It's inevitable. And every time they do that, they don't make the story short. They lie to you. I'm going to make a long story short. No, you're not. Don't even go there. Either don't tell me the story, or here's the other option, don't tell me the story. Because chances are, it's going to be too lengthy for my attention span. I was watching over the weekend. By the way, I was talking about mosquitoes and being bitten. I'm through with that now. I'm moving on to another subject, just if you're keeping count here. Over the weekend, there was the White House Correspondents' Dinner. No, it's not for people who write letters to the White House asking, for a signature. It's not that. It's the free press. Yeah, it's still free. It probably costs money, but it's still free. It's not free press. I get the New York Times, $6 on a Sunday. But it's reporters. They keep everybody honest and all that. Very important. So they have a White House Correspondents' Dinner. It's been done every year. It's like a roast of the president, and the president gets to get up and roast other people. It's entertaining to some extent, but highly political. And if you don't follow politics or what's going on in the world, then you don't know what the hell they're talking about. And that's a problem for you. So they had the thing. They didn't have it when Trump was president because Trump doesn't, he likes to be the center of attention, but if you say something negative about him, he breaks down like a schoolgirl. And I'm not defacing schoolgirls when I say that. I'm just saying that. Okay. So the president gets up. He makes fun of his own age, which was very cool, actually. And Colin Jost from Saturday Night Live, he does the news thing, Weekend Update with Michael Che. He got up there. He was the comedian spokesperson and did the roasting. Here's the problem with comedians. I am one myself. I used to do stand-up comedy way back. Then I realized this is stupid. But I used to do that as well. Here's the problem with comedians. Here's the problem with regular people like you. Everything is somewhat interesting, or for a comedian, everything is extremely funny for the first 3, 4, maybe 5, 6 minutes. After that, it's okay. That's enough. Nothing, and I mean nothing, really has to be more than 5 or 6 minutes long. Nothing does. When you go beyond that, you're just taking up space. And that goes for comedians too. I've gone to comedy concerts, stand-up comedy shows, that kind of thing. At first, they're very, very, very funny. Some of them suck all the time, but very funny. They tell the good jokes up front. And then after a short period of time, give them 10, 12 minutes. After that period of time, all of a sudden you realize, all right, the jokes aren't really flying anymore. The audience is not laughing as hard as they did at the beginning because now they're settling in just for the bullshit part. Where, a comedian standing up on stage for over an hour, way too long, way too long, no matter who you are, no matter how funny you are. It's the same thing with Seinfeld. I actually saw Seinfeld in concert. He commands a huge sold-out audience. He does these gigantic theaters in these gigantic places. And I went to see him in Boston maybe 6 years ago in a theater that sat probably 6,000 people. Anyway, so Seinfeld comes out. He's very, very funny toward the beginning. But after about 20 minutes, something like that, it's like, I looked at my watch. See, for me, that's the barometer. If I look at my watch at any given time for any reason, it's not because I have somewhere else to be. It's because I want to be somewhere else. Once I start looking at my watch or my clock or my little cell phone time thing, then it means it's all over for you. I'm in the tolerating stage now. At first it's, I want to be here. I can't wait to be here. And then it moves rather quickly into the, okay, that's enough. I'm into the tolerance phase of our program here. These shows used to be an hour long when I started doing them on the podcast part of it. They used to be an hour long. And, even I was getting bored. After a half an hour of the show, it was like, oh God, when am I going to stop talking? And then I realized half an hour is like really good for me. I do about 20 minutes of monologue talk. And then after that, I realize nobody can sustain more than 20 minutes of anything. I guess if you go to a play or something and it gets rather intense, maybe you'll get into it, but not a lot. You know, it's like, okay, I've been sitting here for 20 minutes. I don't know. So that's what I do. I do 20 minutes, and then the last 10 minutes I do an interview. And that's fairly interesting or not, but at least something different toward the end of the show. So that's the way I do it, because I fully realized that nobody's that interesting for that long. They're just not. You can't go too long before you start petering out, no matter who you are. Even the Pope, when he goes out on the balcony and addresses the crowd in St. Peter's Square, whatever you call that thing. I don't know. I'm not religious, so I don't know what you call the place. The Vatican City, you know, with the people there. The Pope comes out and talks or something. And like after a couple of minutes, oh, all right, that's enough. Go back into your bedroom. Let's go home. Let's get a sandwich or a drink. No. I used to videotape weddings, as I've said on the show before, when I was younger. And I had a video company and all that stuff. And I used to videotape ceremonies. And when the priest would get up and do his monologue, they did monologues, basically. No, Ron, that's called a sermon. It's a monologue. He'd get up there and he'd start talking. And he might be a little humorous, you know, throw some humor in there to keep people awake. But after 5 minutes, let's get on with the ceremony. Stop talking. Stop pontificating. That's enough. I get it. Say what you mean to say up front and get off the stage or the altar, as whatever the case may be. Now, I'm not into brevity, so to speak. You know, I'm not like a little child that needs little spurts of information and then I move on. No, it's not like that. It's just more of the fact that people just can't sustain. You can't sustain. It's like when you're having sex. Oh, you're going to go there? You're really going to go there? It's like when you're having sex. You know, the first few minutes, wow. And then but after like, you know, a short period of time, it's like, oh, can we get a sandwich now, please? Can we just go get a sandwich? You know it's true. Don't argue with me. You know it's true. We can't sustain. The only thing that human beings are able to sustain somewhat are wars. Those wars go on like for a long time. Thousands of people get killed, usually innocent people. They seem to go on forever. But other than that, it's just, that's enough. And actually, that's what people do. They start protesting and saying, all right, you've killed enough people, that's enough. And that's what we're going through right now, pretty much. We're always going through something like that at some point in the world. Hey, stop it. That's enough. Can't you people get along? Don't you, after a period of time, don't you both say to yourselves, all right, this is getting ridiculous. Don't you ever do that? You're out for revenge all the time, and you never just stand back and say, look, let's both stop this. This is ridiculous. And the other side would probably say, you're right, this is ridiculous. If that's the way you feel, then I guess that's the way I feel too. Can we shake hands and smoke, you know, some weed or something? Can we just do something? Because that's what apparently the American Indians did. Oh, yeah. They sat around in a circle, which is really the only way you can sit with a lot of people and still have a decent conversation. They sat around in a circle and they smoked the peace pipe. What do you think the peace pipe was? Yeah. Drugs go back in history a long time. Maybe they call it something different, or they don't admit it, but drugs go back way, way far. Before there were drug companies, we were smoking plants. And we're not a stupid civilization. Well, actually, we are. But we're not totally stupid. We know where to find our drugs. And the peace pipe, you know, smoking pipe. I'm not doing an impression. I'm just, you know, whatever. And that's what they would do. They would have differences of opinion and kill each other and stuff. But then they'd sit down and go, let's smoke the peace pipe. And then they get high, basically is what they did. They got high. And they said, you know what? You know, this is far better than killing each other. You know, you're right. Until the next time they killed each other. But the peace pipe was really part of the deal. That's what Congress used to do. Yeah, that's what Congress, the Senate, the House of Representatives, that's the Congress, they used to argue back and forth about policies and the way we should do things and call each other names and kick each other in the balls. I mean, you know, I hate the other side of the aisle. Well, then why don't you get some aisle seats? You know, that kind of thing. But at the end of the day, 5 o'clock, let's go down to the bar and have a drink. And they'd be buddies. They'd be hugging each other, you know, and after a few drinks, you know, man, I really love you, man. I mean, man, you know, we argue in Congress and all that, but man, I really love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. They would do that. Having a few drinks is like smoking peace pipe. Having too many drinks means you get back into the violent war thing. Drinking is very funny. Very, very funny. So are the drug things. So are the drugs, the heavy drugs, the heavy drinking. At first, it's, I love you, man. And then you get kind of violent if you have too much of it. Then you start losing your senses. And you get like, then it's overdrive. Then it's like, now we're getting back into the, you know, did you just look at me? How are you looking at me? Did you just look at me? Did you just look at my wife? You know, all of a sudden, it gets like very, very weird. And you know why that happens? Because we went too long with it. Same thing I'm talking about on this show. If it goes on too long, something's going to go wrong. That actually rhymes. I like that. That should be a t-shirt. If it goes on too long, something's going to go wrong. And that's what happens. That's when I start looking at my watch. Oh my God, this has gone on way too long. Think about it. When the show's over and I'm gone and I'm in the show and I play the closing theme and you're on your own, sit back for a moment later on in the day and say to yourself, you know that Ron that I listen to because I love him on a daily basis? You know, he was right about that. When things go on too long, something goes wrong. Because we have the attention span of the mosquito that I talked about at the beginning of the program. Ron, the way you pull these subjects together at the end, it's genius. No, it's not. It's just nothing. It's just the way it is. That's all. We're going to take a commercial break. My guest will be joining us right after this.
You love the great deals at Whatchamacallit's, your one-stop shop for that stuff you need. But did you know now you can have lunch there too? We're proud to announce the opening of Thingamabob Cafe, the restaurant that has those things you like. The breaded chicken thing with ham inside and the cream sauce? It's our weekly special with those roasted potatoes and that vegetable you wanted to try for just $8.99. The thing that's like a folded pizza and you can eat it with one hand? Get two for $12.99 at Thingamabob Cafe. That pasta you had at that nice place the Johnsons took you to last time you visited? The one with tomato and sausage and maybe it was spinach or something? Something green anyway. It's just $11.99 with garlic bread and that soup that's like the one your uncle used to make before the accident. And how about dessert? This week only, that little chocolate cake that's all gooey and warm on the inside. What do they call that? Well, we call it delicious. And it's just $3.99 this week at Thingamabob Cafe. the new restaurant that has those things you like. We'll see you, you know, whenever.
Hi, Emily.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. Emily Fago is here. She's an assistant editor for the National Geographic Kids Books team. I love these books because they're not for kids. They're for me. So I appreciate that.
Wonderful. Yeah, I can't help but enjoy them as well. They're great.
Yeah, they are. And I especially love this series, anything that has to do with learning these little trivia facts that aren't so little, actually. But, I mean, every fact is just amazing. It's stuff I didn't know. This is great for everybody.
Yes, absolutely. This is the kind of book that kids and parents and grandparents can really read together and explore and learn together and take these little tidbits to the next level and maybe dive a little bit deeper since each spread is themed. So if you're really interested in baseball facts, you could take that to the next level and go in that direction as well.
I'm always fascinated by these books that have these interesting facts, and National Geographic does this every once in a while, and I love it. But I'm always fascinated, how do you find these facts, these tidbits of information? I know there's an entire team put together. Is that how that works?
Yes, there is an entire team working behind the scenes to make this happen. For this book in particular, we had two writers, we had a researcher, and then we had a project manager that helped to kind of organize all of the facts in a way that made sense. And then on top of that, to really make the book pop and come to life, we had some wonderful photo editors and designers on board. So it definitely took a team to make this happen, and I'm really happy with how it came out.
Yeah, well, that's part of the bonus with National Geographic. You get these incredible images as well. Let's run through some of these interesting facts here so that we can get a taste of what it's actually like. And speaking of taste, I'll just run through them and you can elaborate. Apparently you can taste garlic with your feet.
Yeah, that's a fun one as well. Yeah, I love that.
Wow, that's weird. I guess your feet smell as bad as your breath does. I don't know. All right. Let's talk about the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. We kind of take it for granted. Some of these big balloons apparently take some effort.
Oh yes, definitely. Yeah, that's a fun one. We've got a ton of elaborate spreads on different holidays and events around the world. So it's been really interesting to learn about those as well.
Wow. Alpacas spit at one another when angry. Oh, it's almost like humans do.
Yeah, I love the animal behavior spreads too. It's been great to get to learn all about that.
Yeah. What are some other facts that that have blown your socks off?
Good question. There's a ton in here. It's hard to pick, but I do have to say I love the spread that's dedicated to cheese. And one fact that I liked was that cheese may help prevent cavities. And there was also a little bit of a grosser fact that scientists have made cheese using bacteria using human toes and belly buttons. So definitely don't eat that cheese, but those are some fun ones.
I've heard people refer to belly buttons and toe jam, quote unquote, as cheese, but that's actually like, yeah?
Yes, they took it to the next level. They really made it cheese. Not edible, but they have made it cheese. And yeah, that cheese can help prevent cavities. Definitely still brush your teeth, but it's an interesting little fact in there too.
Wow. How did, Emily, how did you get involved in this? Was there a part of your childhood that opened up this fascination door for you?
Yes, absolutely. I've always loved to read, and I specifically remember getting the Weird But True book, one of the originals from National Geographic.
Yes.
So I've always kind of liked to look at the strange and unusual things around me. The little things, too. I remember as a kid, I would sit in my driveway and feed ants little piece of croissant.
Oh.
And I loved how, I always thought it was really cool that they worked together and they were so strong. And I was a strange little kid just feeding them the good croissants that my mom probably wasn't happy about. But I think that really at a young age kind of helps me appreciate the little things.
Wow. It's some European cuisine for the for the ants. It's very civilized what you did.
Yes, the ants by my house. Yes, they were eating good by my house, for certainly. Sure. They brought their friends.
Yeah. Wow. How did anybody ever count how many interesting, mind-blowing facts there are in these in this book?
Oh, there's hundreds. Each spread, we have some single fact spreads with bright and beautiful photos, thanks to our photo editors. But each page has 10 facts per page, and there's about 200 pages. So, wow. Yeah, there's hundreds in here. Yeah.
Okay. And this is available now to peoples?
Yes, this is out now. It came out at the end of February. You can get it wherever books are sold. Check out your local bookstores, but you can also find it online.
That's amazing. Give me another example of another fact that just is like, wow.
I like we have a whole spread that's baseball themed. And one fact that I liked was that about 19 million hot dogs are sold at Major League Baseball games every year.
Wow.
That's a lot of hot dogs.
I think I have half of them. That's a lot of hot
dogs. That's a lot of hot dogs.
A lot of hot dogs. It is a lot of hot dogs. I see here that the Amazon is so dense with vegetation that it can take 10 minutes for rain to reach the ground. Oh, my God, that's thick.
Yes, very thick. Those canopies of trees definitely contribute to that. Yeah, a lot of really interesting facts about wildlife in here as well. We've got facts about space, famous musicians. There's so much variety in this book that someone is bound to find their favorite spread that they're going to love, but there's so much variety that you can't help but
yeah, a lot of different categories. It's amazing. You know, I've read these books before from National Geographic, and it really opens your mind. It's kind of interesting. You go to school and you learn history and mathematics and, you know, all that stuff, grammar, I suppose. But the real things that stick with you are these amazing things where it's life around you, but you never saw it that way. And that actually opens up a person's mind, not just a kid, but it opens up a human's mind into this amazing world that we live in. It does more than just say a couple of facts, I guess.
Absolutely. And I think kind of with this theme of the book is that kids have this innate curiosity. They're always asking questions about the things that we kind of just ignore. We have these blinders on, just going about our business once we get into adulthood.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important to reconnect with that childhood curiosity and see the world and all of its wonders and some of the strange things as well, and really keep that curiosity alive. And I think this book does a great job of having those little bite-sized tidbits that they'll resonate with you, and you'll share them with your friends, and you know, maybe use it at trivia night at some point. But it's really, it's really great to you know, have that kind of variety, and you can always branch out and dive a little bit deeper later. But these are really great little tidbits that stick with you.
Yeah, well, curiosity can be a wonderful thing, unless you're asking your parents
Absolutely.
About, you know. Okay, so available everywhere, and once again, the title is That's Fact-tastic, and you will find it everywhere. And pick it up, man, because it's a great book, and you know, get it even for the holidays. Just store it and give it to your kids then. But I don't think you can wait that long, so it should be a lot of fun. What's
it's
next?
It's a wonderful gift.
Yeah,
absolutely.
What, as part of a team like that and a spokesperson, like, what's next for you?
Well, there's one book that I'm really excited about. I'm working on this series. It's called the Little Kids First Nature Guides series. And Explore the Beach is coming out this spring. It's coming out in May. And it's really about getting kids outside in their immediate environment and exploring. The first book was about bugs. So the bugs of your backyard. Yep. And that's a series I'm really excited about.
Yucky. Okay. Emily, it's been fascinating, and thanks for doing what you do. We appreciate it. Okay, so cool. Thank you to my guests, and thank you to you for being here today. You're really very special to me in a way that I can't describe because I don't know who you are. But that's the way, that's a best relationship, isn't it? You know, I get along with that person. Really, do you know the person well? I don't even know who they are. It's not bad. It's not a bad deal. I'm out of time for today by my own doing. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new episode. Will you join me then? You don't have to respond. I can't hear you anyway, but that was kind of rhetorical. I do things rhetorically. I ask questions, but I don't expect you to respond. That way you don't have to even respond if you don't want to. And if you do, it doesn't make any difference. Rhetorical. Nice word. Hard to spell, but a wonderful concept. Have yourself a wonderful day. I wish you peace.